Side Hustle Show 147, Rob's $30,000 side hustle, flea market flipping.
Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, where aspiring part-time entrepreneurs learn how to turn their side hustle dreams into reality. Because your 9-to-5 may make you a living, but your 5-to-9 makes you alive. And now, your host, Nick Loper.
What's happening? Welcome to the Side Hustle Show. I'm your host, Nick Loper, and as you know, this is the show about ideas, action, and results. I've got a good one for you today. I'm joined by Rob Stevenson, who's a real estate inspector by day, but has got a pretty interesting side hustle. In fact, he's been doing this on the side for nearly 20 years and earned $30,000 from it last year. So what's the hustle? It's a business model as old as business itself: buy low, sell high. Now, we've talked about this before on the show, specifically when it comes to the Amazon FBA business with Travis Scott, and even going back to Ryan Finley's Craigslist flipping business last year. Now, Rob's specialty is finding unique and undervalued items locally and selling them for a profit, either also locally or online. Now, stick around to hear what his buying criteria is and the tools, apps, and marketplaces he uses to run this business. It's a very it's a very interesting one, and one that anybody can get started with. No technical experience required. You can learn more about Rob at fleamarketflipper.com, and you can find all the notes and links from this episode at sidehustlenation.com/fleamarket. Ready? Let's roll.
You can do some searches online for local flea markets. We have a big one down here in Orlando that they do it every weekend, and that's pretty much where I go every weekend on Saturday and Sunday. But all over all over states, there's flea markets of people getting together and selling stuff. So okay. Yeah, you can definitely do some searches for them.
Just turn to Google for, like, you know, my town plus flea market, and see what turns up.
That's it. Google's the go-to.
All right, that's easy enough. Now, what do I do once I get there?
Once you get there, yeah, if you just start looking around, if you're trying to get into the buying and selling, I personally look for odd items. That's how I've made money for the past years of me doing it. I look for just weird stuff that people are selling for cheap. They really don't know what it does or anything about it. And then I will do a little bit of research on my smartphone. I'll pull it up on Amazon or Google or whatever it is, try to get some information if it's what it retails for, and some of the platforms for selling. I'll check on eBay and check on Craigslist to see if there's anything listed and how much they're actually asking for them.
Okay, now this is a really good point to bring up, because this is not like the Amazon FBA clearance arbitrage thing where I'm going down the aisles at Walmart and, like, scanning the item. This stuff, like, doesn't necessarily have barcodes.
Exactly. Yeah. You have to find out what the brand of the item that you're looking at. You have to find a brand on it or a model, and plug it into Google, plug it into Amazon, try to look it up that way. You can't really scan barcodes. Yeah. You just have to kind of get creative with your research, try to find out as much as you can about it before you go ahead and purchase it.
Okay. So you're asking the seller, hey, do you know anything about this? What brand is this? And then you're, like, kind of awkwardly walking away, like typing stuff into your phone and then circling back. How does it work?
Yeah, that's how I do it. I'll ask the seller, and a lot of the sellers for the stuff that I buy, they don't know. They've got it from either a storage auction, they bought it from yard sales, they bought it stuff from thrift stores.
Oh, okay.
That's how our flea market runs down here. It's not necessarily people just getting rid of stuff out of their house, which, flea markets are different all over the place, but ours, it's people trying to make extra money. During the week, they pick up stuff, and then they all bring it to a big location, the flea market, and try and sell it on the weekend. So, yeah, I'll try and get all the information on the item itself. If the sellers know anything about it, I'll ask them. But the majority of the time, they don't. You just have to go off the model number and the brand that it is, and do your research. I just walk away and start doing some research on it. And then if it's a great deal, I'll go back and offer them a little bit less, or buy it if it's the right price.
So, what do you mean by unusual products? What's an example of a recent purchase?
Oh man, I mean, one of my big ones that I made quite a bit of money on. I bought a prosthetic leg from the flea market, and everybody said I was crazy. They're like, "How in the heck did you get that?" And I ended up paying, I think I talked the guy down from $40. I talked him down to $30, and I looked and I couldn't find a lot of information about it, but I knew that they were expensive, so I took a chance. It was like titanium; it had a knee joint on it. So,
oh well.
I ended up buying it for $30, and then I ended up selling it on eBay. The next day, I listed it, and it sold within an hour for $1,000.
Whoa. So,
and that's not uncommon. I mean, a lot of – I don't want to say that that's an every weekend thing, but once a month I'll find – usually once or twice a month I'll be able to find something that is weird that you'll – that it just throws people off, and you can make a little bit of money on it. So it's kind of unique.
Okay, so I'm going through the market. I'm walking down the aisles. I'm looking for prosthetic legs or something that's just a little bit out of the ordinary. And I'm trying to find out as much information as I can about it from the seller or just from the item itself, like if it has a serial number or something on it. And I'm doing another lap as I'm looking on my phone. I imagine there are other people, you know, trying to do the same thing at these markets. Like, do you run into like competitors? Is that a thing that I'm worried about, or not so much?
Of course. Yeah. There's always people there, but the majority of the stuff that I buy is, it's like I said, it's unique. It's a little bit different. So the vendors have a little bit harder time moving the stuff that I buy, just because it's unique. But I mean, there's people at the flea market every weekend going and buying stuff to resell it. If you go into a different category, baby items, my wife has made some money on baby items, but yeah, there's always competitors there shopping for stuff. So if I walk away and I do some research real quick, that's what I try to do, it as quick as I can, yeah, to where I'm only going for a couple minutes. And by the time I find out, hey, this thing's worth $1,000, or I should be able to make a couple hundred bucks on it, I go back and try to negotiate the deal.
You ever feel bad, like you're taking advantage of somebody who doesn't have access to, like, that's always my whole question on any of these, like, you know, buying and selling things. It's like, you know, at a certain point, don't they have access to the same markets and the same tools?
Exactly. And some people, they just choose not to. They choose not to sell stuff online, and most of the people, they're buying these items. Like I said, most of the vendors that I deal with, they're buying the items from secondhand. They're getting them from thrift stores or other auctions, and they're making a markup on it to make money on me. And like I said, that's just how I make my living. I don't really feel bad. I'm trying to pay them as much as I can for it, and then I turn around and resell it. But yeah, they have the same avenues to be able to do some research. They just choose not to.
Okay. Any rules of thumb? So you're not looking for, like, you know, iPhones or, you know, stuff that has a huge kind of established market for it. Going after that kind of unique stuff. I think that's an interesting angle. I know we shared last year, Ryan Finley from Recraigslist kind of doing the appliance flipping business, which, you know, kind of a similar thing with a less established market. There's just not as many transactions going on, right? So there's more room for margin, more room for negotiation. I was going to ask, like, any buying criteria, like, do you have, like, a specific markup that you're, like, trying to get out of these different items? What makes a deal interesting to you?
I usually won't buy something if I can't sell it for over $100. Starting out, that wasn't the case. You start in smaller, people that don't have a lot of money to invest. You can go and spend, you know, $5, $3. My wife started doing baby stuff, and she wouldn't spend over $3 for clothes, shoes, little items, and then she would try and turn around and sell them for $15 to $20. Okay. So I personally just look for weird stuff, and my normal investment for items is anywhere from $10 up to probably $45 or $50 is what I typically spend on norm.
Okay, so that's pretty low in terms of startup capital. You're not going out, because the other side of this Amazon business is like, oh, I'm going to import stuff and I'm going to, you know, place a $500,000 bulk order from, you know, some manufacturer on Alibaba. And, you know, okay, here's a way to kind of multiply your money, starting a little bit smaller, it sounds like.
Yes, exactly. And that's one of the reasons why I do it. On the side, most people can come up with $20 to $50 just to go for a weekend and try to, you know, find something that's worth some money.
Yeah. Is it, and I assume, like, these kind of different vendors at the market, it's mostly cash only?
Yeah, it is. And sometimes you'll find some people, if you end up buying off of some of the other platforms, OfferUp, Craigslist, sometimes you'll find somebody who will take a credit card. But the majority of it is, it's cash. When you go to the flea market, you take cash with you.
All right. Well, there's a market opportunity for the Square reader to get some new customers at these markets. You mentioned Craigslist. You mentioned OfferUp, which is a platform I'm not super familiar with. Can you talk about that for a second?
Of course, yeah. Craigslist has been around for a while. A lot of people go to it. There's a huge following to buy and sell on Craigslist.
Craigslist is a top 10 site nationwide in terms of traffic. So it's just like huge, huge eyeballs.
Yeah, and it's a lot of competition to go and find a deal. So there's smaller ones popping up all over the place. And one of my new favorites is called – well, I have two of them. One of them I've been using for a couple months now. It's called OfferUp. It's similar to Craigslist. It's a little bit easier for buying and listing on there. And the other one is called Let's Go. Both of those are pretty similar to their style of buying and selling. They're just a smaller market. They have a smaller following than Craigslist because they're new. So you can get some decent deals on there.
Okay, so those resources are at offerupnow.com and letgo.com, and both of those have smartphone apps as well. So I'm going to link those up in the show notes for you at sidehustlenation.com/flea market. Okay, so you're doing both buying and selling on these other platforms, or just looking primarily for bargains?
I look for bargains a lot of the times, but yeah, I will sell them on the platforms also. I pretty much cross-list of what I buy. eBay is where I like to sell a lot of my stuff just because it reaches a large audience. But I'll list it on Craigslist and OfferUp all at the same time if I have the time to do the listings. Yeah, they're great for buying and selling. I've seen quite a few people buy stuff cheap. I think it was 2 days ago, I saw somebody buy a stroller for $15, and then I saw them relisted the next day for $200 on OfferUp. So there's other people doing the same exact thing, just watching for some low items and turn around reselling them and listing them.
Okay, and I'm looking at OfferUp now. $350 mini bike with 6.5 horsepower Honda motor. I'm like, okay, this looks interesting. Do you mess around with stuff that, you know, has electronics, that has engines, that has like moving parts that could potentially be broken or liabilities? I don't know.
I personally do, but a lot of times if I find the fun stuff, mini bikes, dirt bikes, I bought a couple of electric skateboards probably 6 months ago off of, and most of the time I'm a big kid, so I'll buy that stuff and I'll hang on to it and use it for a while, and I haven't resold the skateboards. But liability stuff purposes, I mean, if you put, I guess if you list in it that you're not liable for it when you sell it, I've never run into any problems with that kind of stuff. Like if I'm selling electronics, typically I'll put a note in there that, yeah, this is, it's sold as is, or that's in working condition right now. So yeah, if you're clear with your audience, telling them that you don't know a lot about the item, then that's just how I list them.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I was just curious to say, like, oh, are there any product categories you would avoid for newbies? Maybe would have been a better way to phrase that.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. Just the weird stuff is what I look for. So there's not really thing out of the realm of normal when I'm when I'm looking to buy stuff.
This edition of The Side Hustle Show is sponsored by Squarespace. You probably already know that Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, but it turns out Squarespace is a lot more than just a pretty website builder. For example, did you know that Squarespace has a new AI-guided design system called Squarespace Blueprint? I was playing around with this the other day. It's pretty slick and might be the fastest way to get a professionally curated layout tailored to your brand or business and optimized for every device. Did you know that Squarespace can also host your online course? You can create the lessons that your audience is going to love, then you add your paywall and set the price. You can charge a one-time fee, you can sell subscriptions, and you can customize the whole thing to fit your brand. And finally, flexible payment options. Whether you're selling a course or a digital product or a physical product or your own services, Squarespace makes checkout seamless for your customers by letting you accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay. And in eligible countries, you can even offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. So head on over to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/sidehustle to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. When you're hiring, it feels amazing to finally close out a job search and hit the ground running with your new hire. But what if you could get rid of the search part and just get matched with qualified candidates? Well, now you can with our sponsor, Indeed. It's simple. If you need to hire, you need Indeed, The matching and hiring platform is trusted by over 3.5 million businesses worldwide to connect with great talent faster. And 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. For my next hire, I'm using Indeed to tap into a talent pool of 350 million unique monthly visitors. And what else is cool is Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use it, the better it gets. And how about this? Side Hustle Show listeners get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Side Hustle Show. Just go to Indeed.com/Side Hustle Show right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Side Hustle Show. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Now, so you mentioned selling the prosthetic leg like the very next day. That sounds like maybe an anomaly in terms of speed and in terms of the markup. You know, how long are you typically sitting on some of this stuff?
I will sit on some stuff and then start marking it down. If I list it right after I buy it, I'll usually sit on to it for probably a month, maybe 3 to 4 weeks, relisting it or stuff like that before I'll start to mark it down a little bit to liquidate it. That's okay. Pretty much the norm for me.
Okay. You say, hey, after a month, you know, the market has spoken. It's not worth however much I thought I could get for it.
Exactly.
Okay. With the offer up, okay, so you can make your own offer. So people give their asking price. So they want $350 for this mini Honda motorbike that looks like it's in pretty rough shape. So I would send this person, hey, I'll give you $100 for it. Like, do you just lowball people, or how does that work?
It all depends. It depends on if the item's worth what it's worth. I mean, worth what they're asking for it. I'll just go ahead and click on the price that they're asking for it. And yeah, I'll just go and set up a time and a place to meet up with them to buy it. But if they're asking a higher price, usually sometimes I'll give you an instance. I bought some exercise equipment probably 2 or 3 months ago, and I offered the people they were asking $450 for this exercise bike. I offered him $200 just to kind of lowball him and see if he would go for it. It was worth quite a bit more, and he took it. He took the offer of $200, and I went and bought it, and then I resold it a month later for, I think, $2,800. It was a great exercise bike, a commercial one.
Geez, $2,800 for an exercise bike? Like, must have been like the kind you go like actually at the gym.
Yeah, it was actually a rehab. It's in rehab facility. So, but still, $2,800 retail. The exercise bike retail, I think, for like either $5,000 or $7,000. It was pretty expensive. So, but I didn't know any of that when I found it on OfferUp. I just did the research, looked and tried to find out what it would retail for and that kind of stuff after I saw somebody post it. Okay. And that's pretty much it.
So, kind of, you know, dedicating a little bit of time each day to go through at least these online markets, the Let's Go, you know, through the app, through the OfferUp app, through the Let's Go app, and even maybe the Craigslist app to see, hey, is there anything compelling on here? And then you kind of do your initial research, eBay, Amazon, see, hey, what is this thing? What is this really going for? Or what might it go for? And then reaching out to the sellers to start a conversation, make an offer.
Exactly. Yeah. If you just try to commit to putting a little bit of time each day, if you're trying to get into this, yeah, a little bit of time each day, just doing a little bit of research on the online apps or online venues of buying and selling. That's pretty much all it takes, and just be consistent with it.
Do you have like a giant garage filled with stuff? Do you have like a storage facility or something? I could see this getting out of hand in a hurry if I'm getting all, especially like big bulky items.
Yeah, I didn't start out with one, but I do have a two-car detached garage that I have some items in, and then now we have two storage units.
Okay.
Two of my larger purchases, which, yeah, I don't recommend people doing this to start off, but I purchased 60 king-size beds or mattresses from a hotel, and I had to get a storage unit to store that stuff in. I did that last year. That was a big chunk of our income last year. I bought those mattresses, and I still have about 15 of them left, but I've sold the rest of them.
Are you selling those just locally on Craigslist, or are you doing that on eBay too?
Believe it or not, I sell them on eBay. These type of mattresses, they were custom made for this hotel, and they're Sleep Number, Select Comfort Beds.
Okay.
These beds, this was the only reason why I bought them, was the beds will come all the way apart and you can wash them. So I take them to the laundromat, I have them cleaned. And then the other good part is you can box them. So I'll sell them on eBay and then I'll put them in a box and ship them anywhere in the United States. So that's been a huge moneymaker for my wife and I for the last year.
Yeah, that's a great find. Now, how did you come across this hotel that was getting rid of them?
It's actually kind of a funny story. I was looking on Craigslist, kind of just browsing, and I found the Select Comfort. The guy had one listed, and I went there. He had 14 of them in a room, and he told me to pick one I wanted. And so I picked it out. I had sold one probably 5 years prior, and so I knew I could clean it and ship it. That was the whole reason I went to the hotel. I went to look at this single mattress, and when I got there, he threw me off when he had 14 of them in a room. So I bought the single one. I went back home and called the guy and asked him if I took the rest of them, how much would he come down on the price? And he says, well, let me count how many I have. And he called me back and said he had 60. And that threw me for a loop. So, but I ended up getting them for $60 a piece, which was an unbelievable deal. The mattresses are like $2,500 mattresses, but he was ready to move them, and I was going to take them all, so he gave me a great deal on them.
That's crazy. I think this is just a fascinating side hustle. It's like a whole new world to me. And it's about like accelerating your dollars, right? We talk about, you know, investing and, you know, earning 10% a year, or it's like, hey, find some weird thing and flip it the next day for five times the price. It's definitely an interesting angle. So Rob, real quick, can you tell me about the sales process? Do you do like the eBay auction, or do you just say, hey, this is what my price is, like the buy it now fixed price deal? What does that look like on your end?
Yeah, sure. I switch around a lot, but the majority of how I list things is I'll set it at a certain price for a buy it now. It's not really an auction. It goes for, you can list it, I think it's up to 30 days. I'll typically list them for 10 days as a buy it now price and watch how many watchers that I get on the eBay. And if I, you know, usually once I have it priced right, by the time I get to 7 to 10 watchers, somebody will buy it. And if it's not priced right, then yeah, I know I have to reevaluate and lower the price a little bit.
Okay. You're going out to the market every weekend, or like this is not necessarily the passive income business, but you know, it sounds like with a little bit of hours, a little bit of time investment, you can obviously do very well as Rob has for the last several years doing this. If people want to learn more about this, obviously you've got the fleamarketflipper.com site. Anything else that people should know?
My number one tip would probably be just the consistency. If you're looking to break into the market or start doing this, just be consistent. And you did mention, I go to the flea market every week, Saturday and Sunday morning. And I'll only spend an hour there usually, but I'm consistent with it. Some weeks or weekends I'll go and not find anything. And then other weekends, you know, I'll find something I can make $1,000 on. You just never know what you're going to come across.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining me. We'll chalk up your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation as consistency. Keep at it, and the deals will come. And thanks so much. This is a very eye-opening conversation for me and hopefully for Side Hustle Nation as well. And we'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you again for having me. I appreciate it.
Here it is, short and sweet. So Rob laid out the Side Hustle idea for you and shared some of his results. And so all that's left to do is to go out there and take action and see what happens. If you want to learn more about this business, I encourage you to check out fleamarketflipper.com, which is Rob's site. He's actually put together a month-long course called Flipper University that's built on the back of his 19 years of buying and selling experience. And as a special offer for Side Hustle Show listeners, you can get $100 off that course with code SIDEHUSTLE100. And that is an affiliate code, so consider that to be my disclosure. And as always, really appreciate everyone who goes out of their way to buy stuff through my affiliate links to keep the lights on over here at Side Hustle Nation. In the meantime, I think I'm going to be keeping my eye out for prosthetic legs and exercise bikes and Sleep Number mattresses. After all, one man's trash is another person's treasure, and you can cash in for being the person that connects those two. All the notes and links from this episode are at sidehustlenation.com/flea market. Hey, one quick question for you. We're 147 episodes deep into the Side Hustle Show. Is it time for a new intro, an outro, new theme music, new cheesy voiceover guy, which by far was the best Fiverr gig that I've ever bought. I've gotten more mileage out of that one than I think just about anything else. Or would it just not be the same? Let me know what you think. Leave me a comment on this episode or Twitter, Facebook, email, whatever works for you. We're coming up on 2016, and I'm curious to hear if it's time to change things up a bit when it comes to the intro outro of the show. So thank you so much for listening. Until next time, let's go out there and make something happen. You're going to hear the same voiceover guy doing the outro on this show. I'm going to see you in the next edition of the Side Hustle Show. You're not going to want to miss it. I've got a real estate mogul joining me. She's got 7 houses to her name, and she's 27 years old. It's a good one. I'll see you then. Hustle on.
Thanks for listening to The Side Hustle Show at www.sidehustlenation.com.
As a Side Hustle Show listener, I know you're driven. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. But I also know you can end up hustling and driving yourself into exhaustion, overwhelm, and even burnout if you don't stay anchored to why you're doing it. That's why I want to recommend another podcast that will massively support your side hustle. It's called What Drives You with host Kevin Miller. Kevin's a former pro athlete. He's a lifelong entrepreneur who started 19 different businesses. He's a father of 9 kids, an author, and a mountain adventurer as well. He knows both the glory and the dark side of drive and has devoted his life to helping people who want to drive further, faster, but also enjoy the ride every single day. He brings on today's most influential people in personal and business development to see what drives them and get their guidance on the key ingredients that power our own drive. If you want to fully harness your drive and find peace and fulfillment in the process, go find What Drives You with Kevin Miller wherever you listen to podcasts.